Jam Session is a podcast where two guys who grew up in Dallas-Fort Worth discuss sports, craft beer, life, and their experiences living in one of America's most vibrant cities. If you love sports, you're going to love this show. If you love craft beer or you're curious about it, you'll love this show. Great conversations with good friends is what Jam Session is all about.
Welcome. It's nice to have you here. I hope you enjoy it. I think you will.
You're listening to the Jam Session Podcast.
I withdrawed that I could listen to the radio at a reasonable volume.
With Cowboys insider...
What's your name?
Jean-Jacques Taylor.
That's my name.
Radio personality and craft beer expert, Matt McLaren.
He's a very strange young man.
He's an idiot. Comes from upbringing.
And now, the Jam Session Podcast.
It is indeed Jam Session. Subscribe, rate, and review, and hang out with us for a while. Right here on the Jam Session Podcast, sponsored by Greening Law, a personal injury law firm in Dallas, Texas. Greening Law fights the legal battle so you have time for healing and renewal. But right now, the moment we've all been waiting for has arrived. Ladies and gentlemen, the radio, TV, and now podcast star, the sexy Jean-Jacques Taylor.
What up, Doc?
I am the non-sexy one, Matt McLaren, and this is Jam Session, the podcast, version 117, and we're asking simply that you prepare to be dazzled.
If not entertained.
But before we do both of those things, a message from our friends at Greening Law. Robert Greening and his legal staff, better known as the Green Team, they'll fight that legal battle for you, man. If you've been in a car accident, if you've been hurt on the premises of a business, if you have a question, and I can tell you this, and we've kind of mentioned this before, if somebody else's insurance company has called you, that's basically somebody screaming at you, call a lawyer. And that's when you need to get a hold of Robert Greening and his team there at Greening Law.
Dude, it doesn't really get any simpler than that, man. Don't be talking to somebody else. Don't talk, engage their people. Don't even have conversations. What you do is you pick up the phone, you dial the number. Y'all know the number, 972-934-8900. And you say, hey, Green Team, check this out. This is what happened to me. What do you think? They'll either say, hey, we think it's a good fit and we can help you. Or, no, we don't think it's a good fit. Good luck in your future endeavors. That's how easy it is. It doesn't cost you a cent. And then once they start working for you, the Green Team don't get paid unless you get paid.
That's how it is, man. I mean, and that's such an awesome thing. The consultation's free. So, literally, you call them and they'll tell you straight up, like, oh, well, no, we can't really help you out. Or we think you got something. And then even if you do that, again, as Jacques just said, they're not getting paid unless you get compensated. So they do all the work for you. So give them a call. 972-934-8900. 972-934-8900. That, of course, is Robert Greening. Call now. Office, Dallas, Texas. So as we begin this podcast, and this is going to be, this might be out of the 117 podcasts that we've done, this might be the most interesting one. Jacques and I both have had a lot going on this week, and I know that many of you who follow us on social media have probably seen the news by now. And we wanted to talk to you guys, our Jam Session family, that we have really come to, in some cases, know some of you through the radio show and the podcast, have talked with a lot of you, have met many of you. And you have seen this. If you follow us, if you follow our Instagram, our social media on Twitter and whatnot, I had an opportunity, and you talk about life coming out of the blue, man. And I know you know what that means. We both do very, very well. Sometimes life just happens. And Jacques and I had been rolling along with the podcast, and a couple of weeks ago, as many of you know, I had spent 3.5 years of my life in Birmingham, Alabama, doing a radio show out there called the Matt and Scott Show. And they had some changes at that radio station. I mean, just out of the blue. This was, for those of you that listen to The Ticket, this would be like the equivalent if Bad Radio, back when it was Bob and Dan, just was like, well, we're done. And didn't go to another station. Just
done.
Walked away. And there are some other things that I have. I know the guys on that show really well, and I found out the story, and I know really what happened, but they kind of wanted to do their own thing. And there's some other things and whatnot that I won't get into, but that created an opportunity at this station. And I wasn't, again, I wasn't even looking for anything. And they called me and said, do you have any interest in coming back to Birmingham? Because if you do, you're at the top of our list. And obviously, I was like, well, I have interest in hearing what is happening, what's going on, what the offer is. And so the last couple of weeks, I've been going back and forth. I've been filling in on Birmingham Radio while we were working and negotiating contract and language and all that type of stuff. And I have accepted the offer. I have signed the contract, and I will be hosting the Matt McLaren Show, my own show, from noon to two in Birmingham on a station known as Jocks 94.5. And
now, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, now I couldn't be happier or prouder for my boy, because we all know his lifelong dream has been to be a radio show host. And now, as I like to say, it was short-circuited for no good reason in October when ESPN changed its format. And here, you know, less than a year later, and this is what happens if you're good and you get knocked down. Opportunities will pop up at some other point. It's happened for me in my career at several different junctures, and it's happening for Matt now. And I've told him from the jump, man, this is a great opportunity. I'm happy for him. I'm proud for him. He'll kill it. And it's just a matter of whether he stays in Birmingham for a long time or whether somebody else comes and gets him in a bigger market after a little while.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this. And you said it, Jacques. I mean, this has been, I sat down in front of a microphone as a 19-year-old in college, and it was like God had opened the door to heaven, and I just knew that this was what I was going to do for my life. And I've pursued this. I've moved around. I mean, this is me. I love being on the radio. I absolutely love it. And to have the opportunity to do my own show, it was just too good to pass up. I just couldn't. Now, a lot of you have reached out and have asked, what does this mean? Like, is Jacques going with you? Is this it for Jam Session? What's happening? And Jacques is not. I will be doing the Birmingham radio show from my house here in the Dallas area for the next couple of months. And then I will be permanently moving out to Birmingham in September. So full disclosure, Jacques and I are going to continue doing the podcast. I'm from Dallas-Fort Worth. My son, as many of you know, and this is the one huge con and the big part that I had to work out in my head, he's going to still live here. And my family still lives here. My parents, one of my brothers lives in DFW, my Jacques, some of my very best friends. I'll be coming back often to visit. And so as far as our sponsors go and the places, that's what's kind of funny is we have such good sponsors. You know, it's one of those things where, well, I'm going to come home for Christmas. I guess I'll just drop my car off at Freeway Tire Shop and hang out with the rents for a couple of days. You know, but it allows us that opportunity. And the way we do the podcast now, Jacques and I are rarely ever together in the same spot.
No, only like rarely is actually, it hasn't been any more than rarely.
Right. And so we're going to continue doing this. I mean, Dallas is my home, man. Dallas is my hometown, where I'm from, where I grew up. These and are my
still
teams.
I was going to say, you're still a Cowboys fan. You're still a Mavericks fan. You're still a Stars fan. You'll still do home or audio because you'll be watching the game at your home. It'll still be crazy. And, you know, I don't really think a lot of it changes because the sports takes you have from watching the games and reading stuff is the sports takes that you have. And then the other stuff we talk about, you know, is a lot of, you know, what we're watching, what we're listening to, what we're reading, our different thoughts and philosophies on life and the stories that we like to talk about. And as we kicked it around after Matt got this opportunity, we were like, I don't really see a good reason not to do it because I don't really think the show changes all that much. We've even figured out a way tentatively to do Just a Sip.
Yeah, man, there's no doubt. I'll tell you that. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to having, and oddly enough, I mean, this will free me up a lot to have a little bit more freedom to do a lot more things and focus solely on what it is that I truly enjoy doing, which is the podcast and doing live local radio. So it's a great opportunity. I don't think, like Jacques said, man, I just don't think much changes from what we're doing with this at all. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I guess one thing that will change is when the Cowboys win the Super Bowl in February, I won't be able to stand in line in Dallas and buy championship gear. I'll just have to stand in line somewhere in Birmingham and buy championship gear. So that'll be different. But outside of that, you know, yeah, everything will be great. I'm very excited about it. And, you know, you guys keep listening, dude. It's we're going to keep doing our thing. Jacques and I are going to keep doing this as long as you guys keep listening and keep it happening. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited about it. I'm excited that it's an area that I'm familiar with, too. I still know a lot of people that live there. It's right. The college football hotbed of the world. I mean, you talk about people that have a hard on for football. You're talking about Birmingham, Alabama, man.
No, absolutely.
I mean, they destroy every other market. Any market in the country is so far behind Birmingham in college football television ratings. And then the NFL is still really big there. So it's great. I'm excited. And we're going to keep this thing going. So fear not, Jam Session family. We're still a family.
Yeah, we are.
So before we get into the other bit of news that we are going to throw your way, I wanted to drop out a couple of thank yous to our sponsors. We mentioned Greening Law, Blue Star Motor Group. I mean, I can tell you this right now. Hopefully at some point I'll be ready and in the market for a new vehicle. And I don't care where I live. I'm coming to Blue Star Motor Group to get it. I'll tell you that straight up. Blue Star Motor Group, specializing in superior quality Carfax certified pre-owned vehicles of all makes and models. You can check out their inventory online at bluestarmotorgroup.com, or you can give Deb a text or call 817-881-4066. As you know, Jacques, she'll get back to you really quick. She can tell you basically the range that you'll be working in, and she'll come to you and give you cash on site for your vehicle.
Dude, I've talked to her several times via text. Never takes more than 10 minutes to get a text back. And the best thing about Deb is you don't have to go anywhere else. She is the one in charge. So you want to make a deal? She can make a deal. She ain't got to talk with the finance guy. She ain't got to talk with the general manager. She ain't got to talk to nobody except maybe Mike, her husband. But other than that, she makes the deal, man. And so there's no middle woman. Just go make a deal with Deb. Buy a car. Sell a car. You get the best deal at Blue Star.
You do. You really do, man. And they've got a wonderful inventory. If there's something you're looking for and you don't see it, just text her. Be like, hey, I kind of had my mind or my hopes set on whatever it is. And she'll go, okay. And she will, I kid you not, she will work on tracking that down for you. You're going to get a great deal, and they're going to take care of you. It's Blue Star Motor Group. You can give Deb a call or a text, 817-881-4066. And of course, as we tell you all the time, once you get that car, and I was not kidding you, I mean, sometimes, once I'm out in Birmingham in a couple of months, I will fly back, so I won't have my car. But, like, in the holidays, I'll be here for, like, 8 or 9 days. And I'm not kidding you. During that time, that's plenty of time for me to take my car, even though I live in a different state, to bring my car. Because I don't care where you are. Nobody will take care of your vehicle and give you the customer service that JR and his guys give you at Freeway Tire Shop.
Nope. For me, Freeway Tire Shop is what it's all about, man. JR's worked on all my cars. Yeah, literally all of them. And he's done great work every single solitary time. The customer service is beyond reproach. And doesn't matter, inspection, oil change, tires, whatever you need, they can handle it for you.
They can. So you can check them out online, as you know, freewaytireshop.com. You can request a quote. You can schedule your appointment. Anything, man, from major mechanical work and that type of thing to new tires to the simple stuff that we all have to do all the time, like registering your car and getting an oil change. JR and his guys, they will get you taken care of. And don't forget about their new service. It's called Tires to You. They will actually come to you and replace your tires on site. You get a flat, need a new one, he's got you. Just need a new tire, they will make it happen for you. You can find out more information. It's freewaytireshop.com. So as we mentioned, Jacques and I have both had, I mean, this has just been a wild week for me with the back and forth that I've been having with the personal stuff. And for those that don't know, Jacques and I have been filling in on the ticket 3 to 7 in the afternoon this week. I have been doing a radio show in Birmingham from 10 to noon. We've also been keeping up with the podcast, and I've been hosting trivia. So there's just so much going on, but we didn't want to just skip a podcast. We wanted to have something for you guys. So I'm just going to be honest with you. The podcast that you're about to hear, these are segments that we did on the ticket. So if you happen to catch us on the ticket, you may hear it and be like, oh, well, this sounds like you guys are shortchanging us. We're not trying to. Maybe you heard us on the ticket, maybe you didn't. If you didn't, this is us. It's just me and Jacques with the segments we did on the ticket. And if you did hear us on the ticket, well, maybe you didn't hear all of it. And we wanted to give everybody an opportunity to hear some of the stuff that we've been up to and some of the things that we've been doing filling in on the ticket from 3 to 7 this week. So what follows is a variety of segments. We've got some DAC talk coming your way. The expectations have changed. I think this is going to be an interesting conversation. Are the Mavs the closest team to a title in the DFW area? We have that for you. Some weird stuff happening at the Olympics, all kinds of stuff. So be looking forward to that as this version of the Jam Session podcast gets underway.
But those Dallas Mavericks, you know, it's interesting because you look around at this and you have the feeling, DJ and I were talking about this yesterday when you were out, that, because, and part of it is the Suns, man, because the Suns had Booker, they had Ayton, they had Bridges. Obviously, they had Payne and some guys, depth guys that didn't really need to do a lot. They bring in Chris Paul, which is a huge piece.
Yes, sir.
And they bring in Jay Crowder, and they go from 2 years ago being absolute pure trash to getting hot in the bubble last year to right now probably winning the NBA title. And if you're a Mav fan, I think you got to look at that and be like, the Mavs, Luka's better than anybody the Suns have.
Right.
And perhaps like with Jalen, and maybe there are some other pieces that with the new coach can do some of these other things, then maybe they can make a move that it's not ridiculously outrageous to think that the Mavs 2 years from now can do what the Suns have done.
Well, I think if we look just at that comparison, I think we got to say, man, yeah, Luka is better than anybody that the Suns have. But the Suns got an all-star at the point. They got an all-star scorer in Booker. And they got an all-star rim protector, rebounder, and offensive contributor in Ayton. All-star caliber. He'll be an all-star next year. And the Mavericks ain't got that. They got Luka and nothing. I mean, they got something, but they don't have guys at that caliber. They got guys, like you can mark right now in the playoffs, you can mark Ayton down for a double-double. It's just a matter of whether his points are going to be more like 14 or more like 20, but
he's really blossomed with Chris Paul.
Yeah, because Chris Paul sets him up and makes his game better. And then with Booker, you mark down 20 and, you know, whatever, it may be 30, it may be 40. And then Chris Paul does his thing. With the Mavericks, we talked about it all year. The only dude you can mark down is Luka. Everybody else is, they might get you 14, 18 today. They might get you 2.
And part of that with Chris Paul is the leadership aspect. And Ayton talked about that a couple months ago, about how he's just been, like, they get in heated arguments and they yell at each other and they almost come to blows in practice. But Chris Paul is driving these guys because he knows what it takes. You know, and Luka does that, and then you get the reports from Windhorst that, he may be difficult to play with.
Dude.
Because he's hard on guys. He's pushing guys. And I think that they have, Luka has that mentality of greatness. That you're coming with me, and anything less than greatness is unacceptable.
I mean, people have said that about Chris Paul almost his whole career.
Right.
Like, LeBron ain't easy to play with. None of the great players who are uber competitive and want to win championships are easy to play with because they're demanding. Why? Because you messing up my daggone legacy because you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. And I'm trying to win a ring. And you want a guy like that, man. Now, there's always a build them up, tear them down, and build them up philosophy. There's always I'm demanding. And for all the times I yell at you, McLaren, because you ain't doing what you're supposed to do on the court, I'm taking you out to lunch. We're hanging out. I'm popping bottles with you on the road. I'm showing you stuff in film. I'm letting you know all the stuff that, yo, dog, I love you. You're my boy. But on the court, you got to do your thing.
And when you look at this and you consider that with the Mavs, I kind of wonder, is it the Dallas Mavericks that bring this city its next championship? Now, I think it's interesting because truly, I think they made these changes because they understand, kind of in a sense, what the Cowboys did the year before last by making the change with Garrett. Because the Cowboys are in a win-now mode.
Right.
Trying to get somebody to come in here that can shake this thing up to a point where, okay, we can get to the playoffs. We got to get past that. And it feels like that's kind of where the Mavs were of, okay, well, we can get to the playoffs. We've got a superstar.
Right.
We know that we can contend on a certain level. We got to get past that. And it's a race between the Cowboys and the Mavs, maybe, to, although I suppose since the Cowboys won the Super Bowl in February, they'd be able to win it before the Mavs can win it again.
I think
if you look at it, I would say it's the Mavs or the Stars. And I would give the Mavs the edge just because they have the one young in his prime superstar. And we've already seen with Phoenix, we've seen with the Bucks, we've seen with other NBA teams, how if your front office is creative, and check this out, man, makes the right moves, you can elevate your team very quickly. And if you make the wrong moves, you just kind of hover in the middle of the pack. But if you make the right moves and build it properly, you can win in a hurry.
Now, we all know the Rangers aren't going to do anything for 2 or 3 years.
Right.
That's silly to even act like that's a thing.
Right.
The Stars are just in the Stanley Cup Finals. They've got pieces. They had a horrible year. I don't necessarily blame them for what happened this year as some sort of a misgiving or shortcoming of talent. I mean, Jason Robertson finished second in the Calder Trophy voting for Rookie of the Year
right. In
the NHL. They've got some guys like Hintz. You know, they need some health. Obviously, Bishop. They need to figure some things out moving forward. You'd like a little bit more, but you'd like a little bit of health from Tyler Seguin, of course.
Right.
It's going to be interesting to see because the Cowboys this season, and I wonder that, what if they don't make the playoffs this season, I think McCarthy's out. I really do. Yeah, I think you are asking some extremely hard questions if you're not in the playoffs as a Dallas Cowboys this year. And I mean like talent evaluation questions.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think the expectations are there. The window is there. It's closing. And there's no time to wait. You know, because this current group of players, man, I told somebody this. I was out of town at a funeral last couple of days, but I told somebody this, man. They got about 3 years to get it done because if they don't, this current group of players,
right,
past their prime. Zeke is 27, 28. You can't expect him to be a dominant player. Tank Lawrence then becomes like 30. He's on the backside now. Amari Cooper, maybe he's here, maybe not. He's gone. Zach Martin. Tyron Smith, they could be like at the end of their careers in 3 years. So the time is now. There's no time to wait. They got to get it done if it's going to happen.
I think that's what's so interesting about what the situation with the Mavs, that the Mavs are in with Luka. I think we're all pretty much convinced he's winning one. Like some, it may not happen next year or 2 years from now, but if he stays with the Mavs, let's say he's got 6 more seasons with the Mavs.
Right.
I think all of us are pretty much under the belief that he's getting one somewhere in the next 6 years. Luka will find a way to bring a title to Dallas.
If they give him any help whatsoever,
right,
he'll get it done. But what they need, to me, is what the Suns got, man. You got to have a legitimate 2 or 3. And maybe KP, if he's a 3, he's a better fit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But either way, and I don't think he's a 2 anymore. A 2 means somebody you can mark down 20 points a game, basically, and upper it and, you know, close to all-star caliber performance, if not all-star caliber. That ain't KP. They got to figure out how to get that dude. And I don't know how they go get him, but they got to figure out how to go get him.
Right. They've got to figure that out. It may have to be something, and I brought this up the other day, the creativeness of the Milwaukee Bucks, who looked at it and said, okay, we've got Giannis and we've got Middleton. We need another guy.
Right.
And they went out and traded some picks, traded some depth, and brought in Drew Holiday.
Right.
And figured out, and that was like a 4-team trade with pieces going here and there and there and there. And the Bucks didn't care as long as they wound up with Drew Holiday.
Right. And that gave them a third guy
right. Who's
really all-star caliber. Maybe he is some years, maybe he's not, but he hovers around there. And he's capable on any night of giving you 20 and 10 or 25 and 10 or whatever. And he's a real baller.
But that's why it feels like those of you that know, I am about as cowboy homer as it gets. I can legit lay out a case where it's not absurd the Cowboys win the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, lay that case out.
Well, I'm not going to do it in 1 minute, but...
That's why I asked you to, because it was a very short case.
Yes, because they're going to. Dak's back. There's your case. So, I don't know, man. It's gonna be wild to see. Because if the Mavs get one in the next couple of years, then our belief is that they're winning multiples and that you've got a Steph Curry thing here maybe and you're going to win. You're a dynasty about to happen.
Yeah, I think so.
And this is where it gets really wild. If the Mavs don't get one in the next 2 or 3 years, we still believe they can. if the Cowboys don't get one in the next 2 or 3 years,
you think they can't?
You've just completely wasted Dak again, like the first half of his career, like you wasted Romo.
That's a whole lot of waste, bro.
Man.
I mean, that's damn near 15 years of waste.
Right, where you couldn't figure it out. That's why I almost hope it is the Cowboys who get one first. But I feel like the Mavs are positioned for it a little bit better.
Ditto.
Before we continue and have our next segment for you, let's tell you about Deidre. You're like, Deidre? Yes, Beer Geek Shop. Deidre, she and her husband, Jason, they own Beer Geek Shop in downtown Rockwall. And this is one, I've actually had a couple people, well, how are you still going to do Beer Geek Shop? How are you going to do Just the Sip? And I will tell you this. Now, Deidre technically can't do it, but there are other people that I know that can go get beer right. for me from Beer Geek Shop and ship it to me. It happens all the time. We're going to continue doing that. I'm going to continue getting my beer from Beer Geek Shop because my parents live like 5 minutes from Beer Geeks in Rockwall.
See, we told you we're going to make things happen and nothing's going to change. And we'll continue to give you great updates on beer, whether it's Matt's expert opinion or my beginner opinion about what makes a good beer, why a beer is great, or why perhaps it fell just a little bit short.
Yeah, it's awesome, dude. I love Beer Geek Shop. I absolutely love it. And I will tell you, and this is the truth, Beer Geek Shop, man, every time I'm in town, once I end up making the move, I will legit be going there and spending way too much money because I will be bringing Texas beers back with me. Right, Deidre right. is well aware of that. She knows that. I'm excited about Beer Geek Shop. You should be too, man. We've got to work on that new Jam Session 6-pack. We're going to each pick 3 new beers, and we will have that for you hopefully in the next week or two to pick up the new Jam Session 6-pack. But in the meantime, get out there. Downtown Rockwall, you can enjoy anything in a single. She has over 400 beers to choose from. Anything. You walk in, you're like, I just want a beer. Cool. Eh, I want 17 beers. She'll, easy. Gotcha. And this is something, if you happen to go on the weekend, I think on Fridays and sometimes on Saturdays, I believe, they have like music that they do, live music out there in that little plaza that she's on.
Right.
You can actually buy a beer at Beer Geek Shop, walk out of the store, sit down at a table and drink it right there.
Don't know that it gets any better than that, bro.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Again, it's Beer Geek Shop, downtown Rockwall. Also, of course, our friends at Smokey John's Barbecue. They are working on some really cool stuff with us. We're not that far away from being able to tell you about perhaps a very special Jam Session menu item.
Yeah.
We are working on that. It is in the works. But Smokey John's. I had a friend of mine who's a big podcast listener, Mike, the other day. He texted me, and I wasn't able to do it. Just too much going on this week. He's like, hey, I'm going to go check out Smokey John's for lunch. I was going to see if you wanted to go with. And I couldn't make it, but I ran into him at trivia the other night. He's like, man, you weren't kidding, dude. It's like, I told you. He's like, their brisket is crazy good. I was like, so you had the brisket. I was like, go back next time. You'll come to me and go, man, their sausage is crazy good. Because it doesn't matter. Like throw a dart at the board or just walk in. You don't even have to see the menu because the secret menu. And you can just order off that. Anything you get there is crazy good.
That's the beauty of Smokey John's, man. And that's what I love about him. You can never go wrong with any menu item. And if you can't get by there, all you got to do is go to the website, click on the marketplace, and you can order the rub. You can order the sauce. Matt likes to drink it out the bottle. And get it sent wherever you are in these United States and have a little Smokey John's with you in any part of the country.
You can make that happen. I think I told that story when we were in Arkansas over the weekend for the 4th of July holiday. We had actually taken Smokey John's rub and gave it to my lady friend's uncle so that he can have a chance to try that. I mean, it's no matter where you are. Go to Smokey's Market at SmokeyJohns.com. Order the barbecue sauce. Order the rub. Have a little bit of that Texas barbecue taste wherever you happen to be. And if you are in the DFW area, or maybe, and I know people have done this, say you have a layover at Love Field. And you're like, I've got like a 6 or 7 hour layover. They're, I don't know, what, 5 minutes from Love Field? You actually have time to leave the airport, go to Smokey John's, eat some of the barbecue, and then make it back before your next flight leaves.
How cool would that be, bro?
That'd be actually kind of badass. You know, that's never crossed my mind until I had a conversation with a friend of mine because I'd been looking at flights coming up to have to go out to Birmingham and do some stuff. And one of them, because I won't be flying out of Dallas, and maybe we'll get into the story another time, I'll have to fly out of San Antonio, and there's like a 5 hour layover. I was like, man, what do you do? And one of my buddies was like, dude, here's what you do. He's like, just leave the airport, go hit a brewery for like an hour and a half. You can sample some good beer. And I was like, really? You can do that? He's like, I do it all the time.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I didn't even know that you were allowed to do that.
Yeah, because, I mean, as long as you're at the gate, you got to go back through security and all of that. So that can be a beat down. But outside of that, bro, yeah, you can do whatever.
So there you have it. Smokey John's Barbecue. It's right there off Mockingbird in between 35 and Love Field in Dallas. I think you're going to really enjoy it, but you got to go check them out, man. It's fantastic. HFX Foundation Solutions. Have you called them yet? Or are you just like, man, that crack over there is getting way bigger, huh? I'm sure it's fine. Or you could call HFX Foundation Solutions, 817-770-0174. You could go online, hfxfoundation.com, and you could have the experts actually come out and be like, hey, man, good thing you called us, because that crack right there, that is going to get way worse, and it could have been way worse if you had waited. But they catch it early. That's the whole point of you calling them.
No, that's exactly why we call it a colonoscopy for your house, because just like that, if you catch it early, the damage is minimal. All right, you get it fixed, you pay a couple bucks, you're good. And if there is nothing there, then you sleep easy at night knowing that there's no damage. Your house and your foundation is great, and you can keep rocking for another decade.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's that simple to make it happen. And that's the whole thing, is that they'll come out, they'll give you a free inspection. Takes, I don't know, 45 minutes. And those 45 minutes could potentially save you thousands of dollars in damages. They catch those drainage issues and those foundation issues early on. That's the whole point. 817-770-0174. A-rated with the Better Business Bureau and another locally owned family business. Aaron and his crew, they will get you set at HFX Foundation Solutions.
We have a new level, I think, of expectation, because this is year one of the Dak richer than everyone else era.
Yes.
Year one of the $40 million a year. Year one of you paid a guy because you believe said guy will get the results that will validate the reason you paid him this.
Yes, that is correct.
And Dak Prescott, as great as he has been, and the things that he has accomplished, somebody be like, what has he accomplished? Fine. Changes the game a little bit for him, because this is a new thing that he will have to navigate. Because even people like me, and I am a Dak defender, probably as hardcore as anybody.
Right.
But that's the reality, man. I mean, my expectation is you got paid like this to win Super Bowls.
I think the deal is, this has no effect on Dak. Here's why. If playing for the contract the last 2 years didn't bother him, then having expectations won't bother him. I think he'll be fine. I think his performance last year, before he got hurt, showed you what he's capable of. I think he's got terrific skill people around him.
Yeah.
I think his confidence level and his ability to eliminate distractions and focus on the task at hand is supreme. And I think he's going to do whatever he's going to do this year. Good, bad, or indifferent. It won't be because there's more pressure, expectations, etc.
I anticipate, now it's twofold, right? Because I don't want Dak Prescott to do what he did last year, but I anticipate that he will play just as well. And I mean that because what he was doing last year as far as statistically was ridiculous, because they were playing from behind so much that his numbers were just astronomical. I mean, you're not supposed to have numbers like that.
No.
But at the same time, I believe he is capable of being a high-quality quarterback, even though statistically, in any given five-game sample, his numbers will not be what they were last year.
Let me tell you why Dak Prescott is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Dak Prescott is one of the best quarterbacks in the league because the game is about making plays. Like, there's only four or five plays a game, or let me rephrase it. Four or five plays a game tilt the game. Most weeks, it's four or five plays that tilt the game one way or the other. You make them, you win. You don't make them, you lose. And Dak Prescott, and we've seen it a thousand different ways, is capable of making that play. And check this out, Matt. He's capable of making that play in a bunch of different ways. He can make that play by getting into the right play.
Yeah.
he can make that play by dropping the ball in a spot where you didn't think he could drop it. Perfect pass, great coverage, catch made. He can make a play because you thought you were about to sack him. You knocked him off balance. He put his hand on the ground, got his balance, and whipped the pass 30 yards downfield for a big play. Or he can scramble out of that same sack and make a big play. Or read option, boom, fooled you, got you. Touchdown, big play. Not a lot of guys in the league can make big plays in that many different ways. And over the course of 65 plays of offense in a game, he going to get you, if everything else is equal, most weeks.
You're right.
Thank you.
Dak last year, and this is including the game in which he was injured, obviously, in the five games in which he played, averaged 371 yards passing a game.
Yeah.
You're not doing that. And I'll tell you this, because let's say you don't get hurt. If you average 371, that would have been, now granted there's a 17th game this year, but if you just did that over 16 games, that's almost 6,000 yard season. Now, we are going to see probably some of that over the course of a 17-game season, maybe.
No, I think you will.
But in a 16-game season, I'll tell you this, if Dak Prescott is throwing for that many yards again this year, the Cowboys are going to miss the playoffs and will be 6-10 or 7-11 or
right,
whatever
you're not supposed,
it is.
You want some sort of balance.
Yeah, because you can't have that.
Not only do you want balance, let's keep it real. You want in the fourth quarter to be doing what? Giving the ball to Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard, because you're up by 7 or you're up by 10, and you're like, hey, we need to run the game out, burn 5 minutes on this drive, score a touchdown, kick a field goal, or punt, and, you know, bring it on home. You don't need to be throwing. Like, before he got hurt, he was amongst the league leaders in fourth quarter pass attempts, you know?
Yeah.
And if you look at his pass attempts, he was amongst the league leaders in pass attempts when throwing, when playing from behind. You don't, neither one of those stats are stats that you want.
I think this is a really fascinating year for the Cowboys. And, of course, as many of you are aware, all the shows at the Ticket will be in Oxnard out there on the West Coast as the Cowboys get rolling. Training camp for the Dallas Cowboys officially opens in less than 2 weeks with the state of the team address. And then they're out there, man, preparing for the 2021 season. There's a lot of things at play here. It's the beginning of a new era for Dak, probably. You know, we've done the chapters before. This is a new chapter for him because of the money.
Right.
And this is, you're weighing Dak Prescott, the expectations. You're weighing Mike McCarthy, the expectations. Because I do feel, I think the Cowboys to some extent gave it to him. I think I tend to a little bit give it to him. The Mulligan season of, well, Dak got hurt. It was COVID. He didn't have the full offseason. All those types of things that you can make the excuses for. And this is a big time for the team because, as I mentioned earlier, I believe if you miss and you don't make the playoffs and do something this year, I think you have to really evaluate this thing that you've got a massive talent evaluation problem because it's not what you thought it was at all.
Or you got a massive coaching problem.
Right.
Depending on
both.
I mean, it's or a nation of both. We'll see, man. I think I don't think there's any doubt if you have normal NFL health, normal health, which means some guys going to miss some games, some guys going to be out for the year, but you got normal health, that their offense is championship caliber. I think we can all say that, and that's no exaggeration. But what we all know is it's about the defense and what it does. How good is it? Is it serviceable? Is it good? Does somebody step up that we like, oh my God, I didn't expect Randy Gregory to get 10 sacks. I thought he'd get about 6. Is there somebody, is there some rookie? And we go, oh, Kevin Joseph, we thought he was just solid. And oh my God, he's got 5 picks and he's rookie of the year. Can they get a lift like that? Can Micah Parsons be what they think he can be?
Yeah.
You know, can he be the guy who gets 8 sacks and you go, damn, we didn't see those 8 sacks coming. Well, we hoped we'd get those 8 sacks and then he delivered. Some as a blitzer, some coming off the edge, whatever. Somebody, can you give us a performance that we didn't expect? And if you can, then that may be enough for the defense to be competitive.
And that goes back to if they can. They evaluated their defensive talent and obviously acknowledged there's a problem here. Right. The draft, the free agent additions. I mean, they brought in a bunch of new dudes defensively. Dan Quinn. if you miss again, something's off. Because you've tried to influx. You can't completely turn over the defense, obviously.
Right.
But with the new bodies, half the starters could easily be new or more. I mean, you could have 7-8 brand new starters.
Right.
And really give it a chance to kind of reset. And if you're wrong again, I don't know, man. At some point, you got to start looking at this and being like, I mean, do you guys not have what it takes to put to find talent, to develop it when you have it? Because we saw it with Jalen. It's what we were told with Leighton. Now it's going to be Micah Parsons. You know, even with some of the higher picks that they have spent, and not that they were super high, but, you know, guys like Cheeto and Jordan Lewis.
Right.
You know, that, and we've talked about this on our podcast many times. How many times have we seen first and second round draft picks, third round draft picks that, well, thanks for your 4 years?
Yeah. Some of that's to be expected. But I think the bigger issue is you have to have bigger stars that you hit on. You know, like, you're not, you know, some of it is, it's okay if you're a third round pick, you play 4 years, you're Anthony Hutchins,
right,
and somebody wants to offer you more money than you're really worth. Okay, cool. That happens. But you need guys to play to their pedigree, man. And that's what's been lacking on defense. You know, we've had a bunch of second round misses over the years we've seen from the Cowboys. You know, they actually do pretty good in the third and fourth round. So they've had some misses. And I say this all the time. The reason the frustration level is so high is because if you really look at the reality of the situation, is 07, 14, 16, those were the years they were supposed to win.
Right.
Those were the years they're supposed to get to the championship game, compete for a Super Bowl, whatever. Win it, don't win it. But those were the years. And had they done it just in those years, we'd be saying, okay, they've knocked on the door. They just haven't gotten in. Instead, they found, you know, curious ways, inventive ways to lose. Some their fault, some not their fault. But bottom line is they didn't take advantage of those 3 years where they were clearly one of the best teams in the NFL. And, you know, that's why we've had this long drought. Because check this out, Matt. Outside of Washington, Detroit, and Dallas, every other team in the NFC been to the championship game at least twice, maybe three times.
Yeah, at least twice, yeah.
And some people have been 6 and 7 times. And so, you know, there's a reason why they haven't been. They had the chances and they blew them.
So when you look at this and you look at this season for Dak, what is the expectation? To me... Because they could not make the playoffs, and that could have nothing to do with Dak. He could have a fantastic season.
I think when you make the money that Dak makes, bro, it's like those NBA superstars like Barkley, CP3 for now, and others who don't have a ring. Hey, Doc, you were here to get a ring. If they don't make the playoffs, I would think Dak had something to do with it if they don't make the playoffs. I would think. So I expect them to make the playoffs. I expect Dak to play well. So if you talk the expectation, I think the expectation is Dak will play well. And if the defense holds up, so I guess that's kind of your point. If the defense holds up, you know, they should win 11 or 12 games.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way because keep in mind you'd be 12-5, 11-6 in the 17-game season. I feel like with this contract, man, and I think any franchise that pays guys at that level – you're paying them you got to start racking up playoff wins. Playoff wins.
Like that's why we paid you.
Even if you're 9-8 and you get into the playoff, you got to win a playoff game. You need to start stacking up. We're getting into the playoffs. I'm consistently winning a playoff game here or there, finding ways to further this thing in the playoffs. Because this, I mean, I can't imagine if you miss the playoffs again, I mean, a colossal fail. Colossal. That's 2 years in a row of waste.
I think it's like you. I think it's you have to get there and you have to win a game. So if you don't win a game, I don't think Mike McCarthy's here, bro. I just don't. I think it's
even if they make the playoffs and they lose,
you got to win a game.
Yeah, and it feels like, I mean, Dan Quinn could step right in if you needed him to.
If you thought
he's taking a team to a Super Bowl,
he thought he was a better option.
That would be wild,
because,
man.
You know, and as we play out this card to the nth degree, you could do that because Kellen Moore, if he doesn't get a job, can run your offense. And we still ain't figured out what Mike McCarthy does. Because his game day decisions ain't about poop.
It's a wild season, man. It's kind of like the Mavs offseason to me, where this is an opportunity to set this thing up down the right path for the next few years. And I feel the same thing about the Cowboys. They tried to address it on defense, and I feel like this season is going to tell you a lot about Dak, about McCarthy, and about where this franchise is going to go the next three or four seasons.
Absolutely.
This is the time of the year. You and I have discussed this.
Yes.
Now, we are fortunate. I actually like the way that it has played out this year.
Right.
Because normally there are no NHL finals, which ended last night. There are no NBA finals. Normally those are ending in June.
Right.
In any given normal year, the time period that we are going through right now, we're all just kind of waiting and hoping to get to training camp.
True that.
Which for the Cowboys is like 2 weeks away, believe it or not.
Right.
Man, that is wild. Less than 2 weeks away, the Cowboys have their state of the team address.
It don't really feel like it yet.
No, but it's July 8th, and what is that, the 21st, I think,
yeah.
when they have
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
So you look at that, I mean, that's...
It's here.
That's 2 weeks from yesterday, the Cowboys officially open training camp out there in Oxnard. And, of course, all the guys here on the ticket will be out there on site in Oxnard to bring you whatever happens at Cowboys camp. But we are about to hit that time period here where they always talk about like the slowest sports day of the year, I think, is the day after the baseball All-Star game, which is usually when they have the ESPYs.
Right.
And this is also the time of year when all these random ass lists are released, because not only is it slow in the sports world for people who talk on the radio or do television, it's kind of slow in the sports world for people who write articles.
This is true.
And so
this is true.
This dude, I mean, like, I don't even know. You're 2 weeks out from camp. You're in the middle of July, essentially. And this dude for CBS Sports just puts this out. The top 10 teams of the Super Bowl era. And just lists like
throws it out there.
Lists like this are always interesting to me because the era is so vast. How do you compare, like, for instance, I believe his number two team is the 72 Dolphins. But how do you compare the 72 Dolphins with the way that the game was played then with, you know, pick and choose whatever team that has won the Super Bowl in recent years?
Right. I think it's really hard because it's, see, to me, it's better if you break it off. Like when they went to the, when they changed all the passing rules.
Yeah.
That to me is the era of division. Because that's right before Marino and Elway and, you know, pick all the great quarterbacks of the 80s and 90s and since then.
Right.
That's when they took off. And that's why when you look at Roger Staubach's numbers, you go, oh, that's a – or Bob Greasy's numbers with the 72 Dolphins, you go, so that's the Hall of Famer? You know, 52% completion percentage and, you know, what, 75 TDs more than interceptions or whatever? It was a whole different game.
Yeah.
And so you're right. It's almost impossible to compare – Mel Blunt's ability to knock a receiver upside the head from the time the ball is snapped until now, where you can't even blow on him real good after 5 yards.
But I guess you can look at these rankings in a sense of, in their own individual era, what was the greatest team in said year?
Yeah.
Like the 72 Dolphins, you can make a case because they were undefeated. Maybe you don't think they were the greatest team ever, and maybe you think if they were to play Tampa Bay last year in the Super Bowl, Brady would have smoked them.
Right.
But what they did in their time period.
Well, I think that's the whole key is, and for me, it's always, when we're talking about these types of lists, it's always the dominance and greatness of you during your season. You know, there was one of those Super Bowl years, like the Steelers had like 4 or 5 shutouts or something. Like, okay, who does that? Nobody. In any era doing that.
Yeah.
And so to me, that's what kind of elevates them and separates them for, you know, when we're talking about greatness, because we're splitting hairs because everybody's really good.
So his criteria for this list, team's overall record, Hall of Fame representation. So then you are comparing eras, essentially. Coaching, dominance versus the field, quality of opponents, offensive, defensive standings, and you had to win the Super Bowl. So you bring all this up, and he has only one Cowboys team on this list, and that is the 1992 Dallas Cowboys, who went, including playoffs, 16-3 overall. Obviously, they had Troy Emmett and Michael, the Great Wall of Dallas offensive line, as he calls them. And they won their three playoff games. Now, the Super Bowl obviously largely played into this year. But they won their three playoff games by a combined score of 116-47.
That's pretty impressive now.
Yeah, that's impressive. They beat the Eagles in the divisional round, as we all remember. And then, of course, they took down Steve Young at Candlestick Park in the NFC title game. And he had won the MVP that year, I believe. So you look at that. He has the next four, the 84 49ers, the 85 Chicago Bears, the Dolphins, and then his, which essentially, if you're saying the greatest team of the Super Bowl, you're saying the greatest team ever in his mind, right?
Right.
The 1978 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Is that the one I was talking about?
17-2 overall. They had 10 Hall of Fame players off that squad. See, that's before my, like, I have no idea. I don't know. That's like, you know, I don't know how you judge eras that you weren't around for. I mean, I've seen the YouTube highlights, but then I look at it and go, well, man, those guys would suck today.
Yeah, but I think some of it is just you're looking at, you know, greatness in terms of, like, you know, the 85 Bears were great because their defense is considered one of the best of all time, up there with the 2000 Ravens and one of these Pittsburgh Steelers teams. And so I think that's kind of how you separate them. It's you're defining their greatness in their era. And if you weren't the great of the great in your era, we kind of can't even, you know, include you in that particular list. And so I was trying to see if this is the team I was talking about. Now, they played great defense, but they didn't have all those shutouts. But, you know, they had about six or seven games where they held people under a touchdown or a touchdown or less. So, I mean, still a great defensive team. And then think about it, man. You got Bradshaw, you got Swan, you got Stallworth, you got Franco Harris. That's just on offense.
Yeah, I mean, 10 Hall of Famers, as he pointed out.
Dude.
But, you know, I just think it's interesting because there's not a single team on his list. Like, the most recent team to make his list is the 99 St. Louis Rams.
Really? So I think that sounds like the opposite of recency bias.
Yeah.
You're putting more stock in what happened 30 or 40 years ago.
And I just have a hard time believing. Well, see, and this is what your brain does, though. The athletes are better in today's game. I don't think that's debatable because they know how to train better. They know how to eat better, take care of themselves better. The quarterbacking is better than we've ever seen.
The equipment's better.
Not even close.
The study is better.
So I have a hard time believing that some of these teams that are winning Super Bowls in the modern era that we are in of the last 20 years or whatever wouldn't have a field day. Like, okay, yeah, I get the 85 Bears and that defense and all this. I just don't know, man. Like, what if they had to play a quarterback as accurate as a Drew Brees?
Right.
Or is accurate with the ability to improvise and do the things that Aaron Rodgers could do.
Right.
Or a Tom Brady. Because, well, they played Montana. I mean, come on. for real, though. Montana was great for that era, but it's just, so I don't know how you leave some of those guys out. But it's not my list.
Right.
I always think it's interesting when you talk about Cowboys, what the greatest Cowboys team of all time is. And everybody always circles that 92 team as though the 93 team, I mean, they repeated as champions. You did it when you had a target on your back.
And I think the question is whether it seemed like, you know, and with another year experience, those players were just as good, if not better.
Right. I've always kind of thought that would be the case, right?
Yeah. I think it's you know, the quarterback was better. The running back was better. I mean, because they were still in their prime, so they were ascending as a team. And that's one reason they won it. And I think there's something to be said for the repeat team because you're right. There is no – the 92 Cowboys won before most people thought they were ready to win. And then the 93 Cowboys is all about, okay, we won it. Now let's go defend it with a team like San Francisco, one of the great teams of all time in there, that you got to go get it from.
Yeah, and they did that with obviously losing the first two games that season.
Yeah.
And then after that, they went 15-2 the rest of the way. And one of those losses was 16-14. You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, you can make a case. They won all three of their playoff games that year in 93 by at least 10 points. It's a pretty dominant team when you look at 93, man, once they got past the first 2 weeks, of course.
Right.
And got things right where it was supposed to be.
Right, because we all know Emmitt held out, and so he wasn't even there.
I mean, you think about that. Emmitt Smith played 14 games and ran for about he ran for almost 1,500 yards in 14 games.
Yeah, without no training camp.
I mean, he's dominant. God, can you imagine that today with social media?
They'd be going nuts, man.
It'd be the end of time. I mean, we kind of saw it a little bit a couple years ago when Zeke held out.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the same. Like, if that team had been coming off a Super Bowl win and Zeke held out after that,
dude,
with social media and the 24/7 nonstopness of the whole thing now.
It was huge news in Dallas with Emmitt out, but it would have been huge news. I mean, it was news nationally, but it would have been, like, off the charts, man. With social media, everybody chiming in and all yeah. these debate shows every day. Dude, it'd have been, you know, the epitome of chaos.
Yeah, it's hard to get past that. I mean, that group of 93 Cowboys, and I guess it's because the Super Bowl, I mean, how do you follow up a 52-17? And it happened, like, the Bills had so many
nine turnovers.
Just so ridiculous in that 92 Super Bowl that the next year when it was close in the first half and then they just turned it on and destroyed them.
I think the Bills were up at halftime.
Yeah, like for whatever reason, people just forget how good that 93 team actually truly was.
No, I think so. And I think some of it's because they didn't win the Super Bowl by as large a margin. You know, because obviously, you know, the 52-17 is the one that stands out in people's minds. It's the dominance because of the turnovers. But that was a hell of a win. Over Buffalo in yeah.
Sunday. So the 92 Cowboys, the only team in the year of lists.
Do you think they should have one more?
That group?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
just on the list?
On the list.
I don't know. I think you just have to pick one, right?
Right.
You pick one out of the dominant, and you say, okay, well, this is the best out of the five, was 92, right. Which I don't have a problem with.
Right, and I think the Steeler teams were better than the Cowboy teams in the 70s, and they proved that on the field.
They did. Do you realize not only are we less than 2 weeks away from the start of Cowboys training camp, we are also 2 weeks away. I'm an Olympics fan. I really like the Olympics.
Do you?
Yes.
See, I didn't really know that.
Because it's only every four. Oh. If it was every year, I wouldn't be into it.
Okay.
The fact that it's every 4 years, and it's stuff that I never watch, and it's the best of those things that I never watch being competed. Like, I like watching the swimming, but I don't watch the U.S. trials. I just like watching the Olympic swimming.
Right.
I'll watch the gymnastics. I'll watch the goat.
The track to me is phenomenal.
I like the 100 meter and the 200 meter, and then I like some of the weird ass events like javelin or shot put or hammer throw. You're not even throwing a hammer. What is that thing?
I have no idea. I'm more into the one, the two, the four, and then the relays.
Okay. But all that stuff, there's just so many random ass events, badminton, or like how you'll wake up when it's in a different country like it is this year, and you're just kind of bored, like maybe you had to pee at 4 a.m., so you wake up and ping pong is on. You're like, oh, right. That guy's badass.
Right.
And you watch a little ping pong.
Right, right.
There's just something to it, man. And the Summer Olympic Games obviously were postponed last year. They were supposed to be in Tokyo last year. They got pushed back to this year.
Right.
The opening ceremonies are Friday, July 23rd, and they dropped it today that there will be no fans allowed at the Olympics.
Really?
The decision was made by Olympics Minister Tomayo Marukawa.
Very good.
Who made the announcement. They have declared in Tokyo a new state of emergency, which runs, it starts Monday. And it spans the entire length of the Olympics. Tokyo reported 920 new COVID-19 cases yesterday. An increase from what was reported the day before. And so they are starting to see some cases coming back up with this new Delta variant. And because of that, they're taking it extremely seriously. And no fans, which to me, I feel like the world stage, the world of athlete, the people that travel to this.
Yeah.
I feel like they should postpone it again.
Do you really?
Yes, because to me, it's one thing for there to be an empty NBA arena or an empty right. NFL arena. No fans for the, like, why would you have opening ceremonies?
Who are you waving to?
Right.
You know, that's actually a great point right there. Like, what's the point?
For exactly. Like, why
for
are you?
For what? It's all to put the
yeah.
countries on display so you can wave to your fellow countrymen and they can acknowledge you and all of that. And you're right. If there's no fans there, for who, for what?
So I don't know how. Apparently, this is still happening. They're going to have the Olympics unless something happens in the next couple of weeks that they don't. I also thought it was strange because, and we don't think about this. You're like, oh, well, no fans can go. Well, did you see, and again, it's like this, right? Because we think of the Olympics, we think America. America sends, I mean, I don't even know how many, what, 600 athletes? 1,000?
1,000.
Something like that from America go to compete in the Olympics?
Right.
Well, Fiji, which is a very small country.
They say like 10, 5?
They have, I believe their Olympic contingent is somewhere around the neighborhood of 20 people all in. So Fiji left yesterday to head to Japan for the Olympics. Okay, it was about 50 athletes and officials from Fiji. So that's coaches, officials, and athletes. They departed the country on a cargo plane packed with frozen fish.
What are you talking about, bro?
Because, and we don't think about this, they are coming from a country which has shut down passenger flights.
Wow.
So because Fiji is not allowing passenger flights, they can't get a flight out of Fiji on a normal airplane. So they had to get on a freight plane to go to Tokyo.
Dude.
Along with the shipment of frozen fish.
Is that crazy or what?
So I started wondering, because we're America and we think in America, well, it's this way and all other countries will do what we do. Well, what about all these other countries like Fiji where these athletes are going to start running into these problems just trying to get to Tokyo?
Dude.
You know, the countries that send, and there are countries that send, hey, man, I qualified in judo and I'm going with my coach and we're the only two people from our country going to the Olympics.
Right.
This is going to get really interesting. And I think it's very unfortunate. And then I thought, what if they postpone? Well, Richardson's suspension will be up if they postpone.
Yeah. But what are you postponing for? Is it going to be any different a year from now, 6 months from now?
I don't know if it is or not, but if you can't have fans, and this is what I always think is weird, you can't have fans, but you're going to allow thousands of athletes to be in close contact with each other.
Tell me what you think. I think it's because you feel like you can control the athletes a lot more than you control the fans, mm-hmm. whether it's testing or whether it's social distancing, whether it's masks, whatever it is, when they're at events, when they're at the Olympic venue or wherever they're staying, you feel like you can control them better than you can the masses who would be out there, you know, thousands watching an event.
Just random, man, because a country like Fiji, you just don't ever think about that unless you're like joking with whoever you're with or whatever. Like, hey, let's go on vacation. Let's go to Fiji.
Yes, Fiji.
Like, you're not actually going to go there. It just sounds like something you say because you heard it or saw it in a magazine or something. But Fiji, you know, it's a big deal to them because they won the rugby sevens in 2016. They won the gold medal.
See, had no idea.
At Rio. And they are sending athletes in archery, judo, and ping pong.
I liked it.
I think I'm in for some ping pong in the Olympics. I watch a ton of the swimming at the Olympics.
Right. Makes sense.
A lot of the swimming. That's probably the Olympic sport other than curling in the Winter Olympics that I watch the most of. I watch a lot of curling.
Right. Why? What is your fascination with curling?
Because I feel like I could do it. And swimming, I swim. And I mean, I have some really, I'm not going to sit here and say I can compete with Olympic swimmers. Okay. But for my age group, I've told you, you know this.
Right.
I've looked into competing in masters swimming because I've looked at meets and I'd be in the top three in a lot of some of the events for my age group.
Right.
Not like competing against 20-year-olds.
No.
But, you know, the problem is they practice so early in the morning, I'm out. I'm not getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go swim in a frozen pool.
All right. So your commitment is not there to be
correct. Yeah. Because I don't want to do it that much. You're right. It's not. Not in that. It isn't. I mean, I'll move to Alabama to try to be a champion in radio, but I'm not getting up at 5 a.m. to go stick my foot in a pool.
Oh. One of those probably pays a little bit better than the other.
There's a lot to that. That's very, very true. One is free and the other is minimum wage, so it works out very nicely.
There you go.
But, I don't know what it is, man. I think that those are the sports with Olympics, and I'll just turn it on, and I'll end up, I guarantee you, I will, the first week that the Olympics are on television, I bet if I have the time, I bet I watch somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 hours of Olympic coverage.
Damn, I ain't gonna watch that much.
I mean, I will sit there and watch it, and I'm about it, and I want to see the athletes win. I want to see the Americans do well. I get really into, like, I watch the World. I'm really into country pride, apparently.
Yeah, you are, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it.
Because the World Cup, I get really into watching the Americans, but I don't just randomly watch soccer.
Right.
But I'll watch it because the Americans are playing. Because I'm like, you know, they're me. I'm American.
Yes, I
can't really get into Fiji playing rugby. I'm not Fijian. Fijian? Fijianese?
Fijian sounds right.
It's got to be Fijian,
not,
right?
Even if it's not, it sounds right.
I don't think it would be Fijianese.
No, that would be a language or something.
It's got to be Fijian. We're going to go with Fijian.
Fijianite?
Fijianite?
It is Fijians.
Fijians. Without Fijian. The A. Fijians. That makes more sense than Fijian. Thanks for listening to the Jam Session Podcast. Make sure to find us on Instagram at Jam Session Cast. Of course, on Twitter at McMatt Radio at JJT underscore journalist. As always, this podcast sponsored by Greening Law, a personal injury law firm in Dallas, Texas. Greening Law fights the legal battle so you have time for healing and renewal. So give them a call. 972-934-8900, 972-934-8900, Greening Law Office, Dallas, Texas. Thanks to Purple Elephant Music for the music you hear at the end and beginning of each episode. He, of course, is a radio, TV, and now podcast star, the sexy Jean-Jacques Taylor. And me? Well, I'm just a guy, Matt McLaren. We'll catch you next time on the Jam Session Podcast, available everywhere you listen to podcasts.